Well, good morning. It's good to see all of you this morning. Glad you're here. The Lord is glad you're here. We're especially glad if you're one of our guests. Welcome. We're glad you're here. The Lord is glad you're here as well. We hope you will stick around our services. Let us get to know you and you get to know us just a bit better. Great opportunity to get to know us after service is potluck. Today is Potluck Sunday. And so I know a lot of our members have made some fantastic dishes that I'm looking forward to enjoying here. So we'll be doing that immediately following services in the fellowship hall. At the risk of, I guess, thinking too highly of ourselves, I don't know. Sometimes it's a good thing to remind ourselves that it's good to be a Christian. It's good to be part of the church, and it's a wonderful thing when we get to serve in a great congregation. And I believe that Davis Park is a great congregation. It was addressed to me, but it was for us, a card in the mail. One of the ministries we have here is Family Promise, where we have families that are in transition, that are homeless for one reason or another. They come and they stay here. We provide shelter for them overnight, also a meal in the evening, stuff that they can take with them during the day, breakfast, stuff like that. Isabella and the boys sent us a card. They were some of our guests recently when we hosted Family Promise. I just want to read the card. To Davis Park Church, I would like to express our deepest gratitude and personally thank every member that contributed, attended, and hosted during the time of our stay. Your kindness will forever be remembered throughout life as part of this life-changing experience. Thank you again. Sincerely, Isabella and the boys. The cover says, thank all of you. So, thank you for making this congregation a great congregation. And I want to encourage all of us to continue in our respective ministries and service for the Lord. As always, it's not about us. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And He receives all the glory. He gets all the glory for all the good work that we engage in. What we're doing this year, again, it's a little different, kind of an experimental thing, I guess, where instead of taking weeks at a time to pursue various needful things from God's Word, we're allowing these things to kind of simmer, I guess, for a few weeks, and then we come back to them, pick them up, and look at them again as we examine various themes. We are this week beginning to take a look at, I'm calling it soul care, that's the old term for it. It's what those in the past have called kind of mental health stuff. And so we're going to pick this theme up here today, and we'll continue to pursue it throughout the year, looking at worry and anger and unforgiveness and depression, things like that. Today we're going to start off in Ephesians chapter 4, and then we're going to transition to Romans chapter 12. But I want us to begin by reading Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 17 and going through verse 24. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians 4. And again, we're going to read verses 17 through 24. The Bible says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But That is not the way you learn Christ. Assuming that you have heard that about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Lord God, as we take time and spend this time in your word, I pray that you would enable us to see, to recognize just how vital it is for us to renew our minds, to put off old self-thinking and to put on new self-thinking, which is really to have the mind of Christ. This is our prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen. Who is Michael Jordan? There he is. Most would probably say the greatest basketball player that ever played the game. Who is Sylvester Stallone? Most would say a great actor, depending on the movie. Who is Aretha Franklin? Most would say one of the greatest singers of her generation. Now, if we ask the question of who these folks are, and if we say, well, Michael Jordan is a basketball player, Sylvester Stallone is an actor, Aretha Franklin, she's a singer. If we answer the question of who these people are with those answers, we would be wrong, because what we've done is we've not said who these people are, we say what they're doing, what they do. And one of the greatest mistakes in the world is to use our performance, what we do, to give ourselves our identity. And yet that is the primary way people define themselves. Think about it. You get a group of people together, and one of the first things that we'll ask each other is, what do you do for a living? And then we decide that if they do a big job, if they have a big title, if they make big money, well, they must be somebody. On the other hand, one's identity is not supposed to be rooted in what we do, in our performance. And if we self-identify by what we do, if we self-identify ourselves by what we do, we'll always misdefine ourselves. Think about it. People go to great lengths to get an identity. People steal, sell, and buy identities every day. People undergo plastic surgery, reassignment surgery, in order to attempt to fix their identity. People seek higher-paying jobs, nice business cards, the corner office, in order to help their identity. People will pick their friends based on who they think will help elevate their identity. People will go around asking for autographs from athletes, actors, and singers in an attempt to show other people who they've met in order to, again, elevate their identity. Here's the thing. Satan knows that if he can keep us from discovering our true identity in Christ, he can keep us from discovering who we really are. He doesn't want us to realize that we are a child of God by virtue of our relationship to Christ. See, if he can keep us blind, he can keep us hostage to the wills and the whims of the world. He can keep us from our inheritance. He can keep us from victory, since we cannot experience freedom if we don't even know who we are. So, who are you? More important than that, who does God say that you are? And how does this identity in Christ impact and elevate our thought processes, how we think? the things we tell ourselves? What is the relation of our new identity to our mental health? These are the things we will explore over the next several months, but we're going to begin by, first of all, talking about the truth about us. You see, God enables us to put on the new self. He enables us to renew our minds, to change our thinking. But what does it mean to renew our minds? And there are two key passages which discuss this concept of renewing our minds. And the first is Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 24. I have the NIV up here. I like the way it reads. Very, very easy to read. It says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Very straightforward, very plain reading. Just want to tweak it just a little bit and give it a little flair so some things stand out for you. I want you to really see this. First thing I want to do, I want to exchange verse 23 in the NIV with my English Standard Version. Boom, there it is. And then I want to emphasize this old self, new self discussion, because that's what Paul, that's the larger picture that's going on here, is he's talking about how we got to put off the old self, we've got to renew our minds, right, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, that's the English Standard, and then we got to put on the new self created after the likeness of God. That's how the English Standard reads there, and I like that better than what the NIV says there. Good so far? Okay? A little changes there, but I think you'll see as we go along, it makes a big impact. The first thing Paul talks about is the old self. And the old self, he says, is, well, he said it's the former way of life, right? The former way of life. And what does that include? Well, the former way of life was a life which was full of pain. It was a life which was full of hurts. We were hurting, and we were hurting others in the process. It was full of pain. It was full of faulty coping mechanisms. We'll talk about those in more detail in just a moment. But that's the former way of life. That's all old self stuff. And Paul says, we need to put off that old self. I like what one writer says about it. He says, "As past sins are dealt with by the grace of forgiveness, and as repentance determines to abandon them completely, all that belongs to the old way of life is to be set aside decisively." Now, the way this reads, when Paul says to put off the old self, the way it reads is, God wants to come along and partner with us in this endeavor. He wants to partner. He wants to help us by His Holy Spirit who lives within us. Paul's talked about that in chapter 3. But God wants to partner with us and help us in the putting off process. As we continue to put off, He wants to enable us to put off the old self and then also to put on, and we'll talk about what we put on in just a moment. But to get to putting on, we have to first put off the old self with all the pain and all the faulty coping mechanisms, all the hurts and habits and hang-ups and all that, yeah? We've got to put that off. And then we got to renew the spirit of our mind. That's what you see there in verse 23. We know Paul is addressing the mind not only because he mentions it here. I mean, it's very plain, right? The being renewed in the spirit of our minds. But as we read just a few moments ago, you back up to verse 17, he talks about the former life, which is the pattern of the Gentiles, and they walk in the futility of their minds. You see that, don't you? They are darkened, verse 18, in their understanding. That's a mental thing. Due to the ignorance, that has to do with the mind as well. Due to the hardness of their heart, that's usually connected with the mind. You see it even here. They're in close proximity to one another. Paul, what are you saying? He's saying, listen, it's a battle for the mind. That's what's going on here. That's what all this spiritual warfare is about. It's a battle for our minds. And will we allow the old self to reach up and control our thinking, our minds? And in which case, he's going to steer us off into the ditch, like a car with a bad alignment problem. Or will we allow God to renew the spirit of our minds? Will we allow him to work his work? He says, you've not learned Christ this way. That's a mental term as well. It has to do with the thinking. You didn't learn Christ this way. And since we came to know Christ, our lives need to be radically changed, not just in how we behave, but even in how we think. The thoughts that we think, we don't think the same way. A couple things that are going on here. To be renewed is it's a present tense thing. It's an ongoing, continual process, which tells us it's not just a one-time thing and boom, I'm done, I don't have to do that again. God calls us to do this daily, continually. The other thing about this, and I've been mentioning it, it's what's called a passive voice verb, and all that means is our minds are being acted upon. And of course, the one who's doing the acting is God. He's the one. Again, he wants to partner with us in this. He wants to help us and enable us. And so he's the one who comes and does the renewal. No doubt it's connected with his Holy Spirit who lives within us. And once we put off the old self and once we are renewed in the spirit of our minds, that's when we put on the new self. And to put on the new self, if the old self was the former way of life, with all the pain and all the hurts, habits, hang-ups, all the faulty coping mechanisms, the new self is life in Christ. It is not connected with pain. It's connected with truth. It's connected with strength. It's connected with things like righteousness and holiness, and you see truth there because it's true righteousness and holiness as well. See, God's Holy Spirit is at work in our minds and in our thinking, moving us toward the things that are best, working us toward the things of God, working us toward the thoughts that God would have us to think. It's a new life. It has new motivations. We'll talk about those in a moment. It's got new desires as opposed to the deceitful desires of the old self. You see that there in verse 22? Now we have new desires that are connected with true righteousness and holiness. This happened, by the way, when we were converted, right? At the baptistry, it happened then. It's true, we put off the old self and we put on the new self, and now we're in this state of trying to be constantly pursuing, renewal of our minds. It happened at the baptistry, but hear me, it happens every single day. This is a daily thing that we need to devote ourselves to, is putting off the old self, being renewed in our minds, and putting on the new self. See, the truth about us, based on what Paul, and really what the Holy Spirit through Paul, is communicating to us through this verse, these verses, is our identity is tied up in Christ. It's tied up in this new self, this new life, and this new life has a new way of behaving, a new way of walking, a new way of talking, a new way of acting, but also a new way of thinking. And perhaps that's where this whole thing begins, is with that new way of thinking. What's fascinating is millennia before the breakthroughs of neuroscience and all the things that neuroscience has taught us, millennia before that, here's the Holy Spirit, through Paul, telling us essentially how we can rewire our brains. The mind. But it gets better. Because I want to take us over now to Romans Wrong button. Romans chapter 12. Come with me to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And we're going to see Paul is going to get very specific for us in how we can rewire our brains when it comes to this old self, new self business and the renewal of our minds. It does begin with divine motivations. These are the new motivations that we talked about just a moment ago. The new motivations. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. That's how it should read. I didn't make the change there, but spiritual service, the word there that's used by Paul, is it's connected to service, not worship so much, but it's a conversation for another day. New motivations. What motivations are these? I appeal to you. How does he appeal to them? What does he appeal to them with? The mercies of God. You see it there, don't you? The mercies of God. Paul, what are the mercies of God? How has God been merciful? And I think, therefore, you see it there. I appeal to you, therefore. That shows us that Paul is connecting what he's going to talk about, I believe, to everything he's spoken of and written about in the first 11 chapters. How all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, 3 verse 23, both Jews, chapter 2, and Gentiles, chapter 1. He goes on and he talks about how God justifies us by faith, chapter 4. He justifies us by the blood of Jesus, chapter 5. And justifies us by our unification with Christ in baptism, chapter 6. Now, as bad as I was, chapter 7, God has saved me and put His Spirit within me, chapter 8. And all of this was according to the eternal plan of God, the grand scheme of redemption that He carried out through His chosen people, the Jewish people. But it also benefits the Gentiles, chapters 9 through 11. Whew! That's the 3,000-foot view of Romans, okay? So based on all that, the mercies of God, historically, but also right in their congregation, He brings us right into their laps because they are saved, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, washed in the blood of Jesus. Miserable sinners they were, not anymore because of Christ. It's by the mercies of God. These are the new motivations for everything that we do. That's what He appeals to. This new life of righteousness and holiness. It's because of God's nature, His mercies, His grace. That's what motivates us for this life of holiness. But it also motivates us to change our thinking. Because of what God has done historically through the Jewish people, through Christ on the cross and His resurrection, and also what He's doing in my life as a saved individual Christian, my thinking needs to change. But He makes a stop off, first of all, with our bodies. I want you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, He says there at the end of verse 1. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. I think sometimes we get the wrong idea about what everything is all about when we all get to heaven. I think sometimes we think the body is not as essential or necessary as we may think it is. That is to say, when this life is done, our souls just go to heaven. We dealt with this at length last year to show that one day we exchange our body, our physical body, for a spiritual body, a new body that's fit for heaven. So the afterlife is more than just my soul going to heaven to be with God. Your soul goes, but your body is important. And Paul is showing us that right here by, he's going to get to the mind, but first, God, He cares about your body. He created it after all, didn't He? He cares about our bodies, and part of our bodies is, of course, our brain. God is concerned about our brains, and He's concerned about our thought processes. He's concerned about our mental health. He's concerned about our neural network, as it were. So we need to understand, God is about our bodies as well. He's concerned about our bodies. Your body is, our bodies are members of the body of Christ. Our bodies are temples for the Holy Spirit. And so our bodies, they matter to God very much. So, now he makes the shift, having talked about our body, you need to lay your body as a living sacrifice. He then makes the shift here to our thought processes and our minds. He says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. That would be worldly contamination. Now, it's fascinating. This is a command, an apostolic command, Holy Spirit inspired. The question I have is, why would the Apostle Paul have to command some Christians not to be conformed to the pattern of this world? The implied answer is there were some Christians who were patterning their lives and perhaps their thoughts, their thinking, after the pattern of the world. It's not a new problem. The more things change, the more they stay the same. In fact, this is a problem which has not only plagued the church, but it plagued the nation of Israel way back in Jeremiah chapter 10. And verse 2, listen to what God says to his people. Thus says the Lord, learn not the ways of the nations, nor be dismayed at the signs of the heavens, because the nations are dismayed at them. Don't learn the ways of the world. It's essentially what he's saying to his people back in Jeremiah's day. Old covenant, new covenant, doesn't matter. God has always called his people not to think like the world, not to behave like the world. And once again, he's doing it here. I think sometimes even Christians get caught up in the rat race, get caught up thinking the world's thoughts after it. What happens is that that impacts us mentally. It impacts our minds. We learn not only the thoughts of the world, we learn their coping mechanisms. We've been talking about coping mechanisms. What are coping mechanisms, Nick? We're talking about things like anger, fear, self-shame, fault-finding, controlling behavior, demanding behavior, things like perfectionism, criticism, being overly harsh, anxiety and worry, avoidance. All of these are the faulty coping mechanisms that are typically, they are triggered by our pain, our hurts and our hang-ups and habits and all those things. Someone does something to us, says something to us, boom, and we go, your brain's a fascinating thing. You know, all things being equal, your brain will tend to go toward the negative. That's the natural course. Like water going downhill, it's just going to go straight to the ditch, to the negative. God is showing us it doesn't have to be that way. Listen, we can't eliminate the pain. We live in a fallen, broken world. That's always going to be here. Your coping mechanisms, you've learned them your whole life. Something can be done about them, though. You don't have to engage in that. So what do we do? This is what Paul is talking about here, about the renewal of our mind. What he's essentially saying is, listen, you need to tell yourself the truth. Truth being rooted in God, what God says about you, that's the primary thing. But also what you say, that inner self-dialogue, what you say to yourself, the truth that others communicate to you. And once you tell yourself the truth, that's when you can begin to act in ways that are good and righteous and holy, in ways that are uplifting, instead of stopping there at the coping mechanism and just destroying stuff. breaking everything down. So that's this business of spiritual transformation that Paul's talking about here. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. You see it there, don't you? This is a battle for the mind. Always has been and will continue to be a battle for the mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. A brief word about be transformed. That word, transformed, it's the same word that's used. Remember in the Gospels, especially in Luke chapter 8, Jesus calls a few of his disciples, Peter, James, John, to go up on a mountain with him. And while he's up on the mountain, Jesus has a discussion with Moses and Elijah. Excuse me, the Bible says that he was transfigured. That word for transfigured, same word. Same word here for transformed. What's the connection? It means to be changed into something new. Changed into something different. It means that we are changed even into something superior than it was before. And I think the new self is different and superior to the old self. With all that pain and all those faulty coping mechanisms. We are transformed, in other words, what Paul is saying here, we are transformed to look like Jesus. He's already talked about being conformed to the image of his son back in Romans chapter 8, about verse 29. Yeah, that's what we're doing. We're being transformed to look like Jesus. And listen, just like mind renewal is something that God does for us, that he partners with us in, transformation is the same thing. Spiritual transformation is God's work in us and on us. And we need to cooperate with him in that, not struggle against it. It's a change that is from the inside out. And that inner self is shaped and changed to be the true new self, and then it shows itself outwardly. A couple things that must take place. How does this happen? He says it right here. First of all is renewal of our minds. This is key to putting on the new self. We saw it in Ephesians 4. We see it here again in Romans 12. We are able to renew our minds. You can do it. It's work. And I think that's why we avoid it sometimes. But God says, yes, I'm calling you to be renewed, and I want to help you do that. I want to enable you to do that. And so if we cooperate with him, he will change our thinking. The second way, you see it here as well, is discerning the will of God. And there's a long conversation that can be had about discernment for another time. I just want to say this, that by renewing our minds, we think God's thoughts after him. And if there is not a specific concerted effort to discern God's will and make a change in our lives, then we will continue to think the way we've always thought. We will continue to behave the way we've always behaved. We will continue to reason and feel and think and behave the way that we've always done. That's the old self. We need to make the concerted effort to discern God's will and to be renewed in our minds if we would walk into, step into, and live in the new self. I need to say at the very beginning here, this is what I'm presenting here, is not a cure for every mental issue or every mental illness. Sometimes, like our bodies, our brains get sick, in which case, take your meds. That's okay. But for many of our mental issues, perhaps most of our mental issues, what is needful is what we're talking about here, and that is to identify the pain, to identify those coping mechanisms, those secondary emotions, and then to tell ourselves the truth, and then to act accordingly to that truth, to step into the way that God would have us to live in righteousness and holiness. I tell you again, my brothers and sisters, it's a battle for the mind. I cannot make you believe this. I'm not powerful enough. But God, He tells us the truth, and it is up to us to believe it. Helping us put off the old self, that identity that is disconnected from Christ, that's what God intends. He also wants to help us in putting on the new self, this identity in Christ. His intention is to help us with that as well. He wants us to have this new identity in Christ. But God also invites us to rewire our brains. If we continue in the old thought patterns, that means that we are conforming to the world's thought patterns. Part of what it means to be transformed spiritually is to be renewed in our minds, to change our thinking so that instead of thinking the world's thoughts after it, we think God's thoughts after Him. It's an ongoing process, but it is one that God calls us to. And then He provides the strength that's necessary by His Holy Spirit to do what He says to do. Let's pray about these things. Lord God, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are complex creatures that have bodies, complex creatures that have complex brains. And sometimes our thinking, our thoughts, they go in a direction that's not good for us and that is not honoring to You. And I pray, Father, that we would allow You, that we would partner with You in renewing our minds so that we can put on this new self. We can pursue wholeness, bodily, mentally, and that we can do this in a way that honors and glorifies You. This is our prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen. One of the things that I mentioned earlier about the old self and the new self, I mean, that's the invitation, isn't it? It's to put off the old self and to put on the new self. One of the things I mentioned is we do that the very first time at the baptistry. That's where God takes that image that's within us that's broken because of sin, and He recreates it in His likeness. My friend, have you done that? Have you turned away from the world, the flesh, the devil, confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, been baptized, immersed in water, have all your sin removed, allow God to put that image back together, raised to live this new life, the new self, as He helps you to renew your mind? Have you done that, my friend? In a moment when Eric leads us, that's your opportunity. You come forward and express how you desire to do that. We can help you with it even today. Even today. For us, brothers and sisters, those of us who have done that and been baptized, has the old self been reaching up that cold, dead hand back onto your steering wheel and steered you into the ditch? In a moment, you know, when Eric leads us, that's your opportunity to come forward and express how you desire for God to once again enable you to put to death the old self, be renewed in your mind, and to walk into, to step into this new self that is life with Christ. Could be something that is kind of private. In a more intimate setting, one of our shepherds will be available in the conference room. Just make your way over there. In a private setting, you can share what's on your heart with them. They'll do the same thing, just as we'll do here. Surround you with love. Lift you up in prayer to our Father in heaven.